One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisee and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. He then asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into the well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to your friend, 'Move up to a better place.' Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalted themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you are giving a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
That second reading read to us by Nanette was from the Gospel of Luke. And to make sense of the Gospels, indeed, if you're going to make sense of the whole Bible, you need a biblical worldview. It was the worldview of Jesus. So I want to just summarise that worldview in three brief points. One, God says in his word there are just two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of God. Kingdom of darkness, it comprises spiritual entities that rebelled against God's good, loving care. It also comprises people who reject and oppose the Lord's good rule. Kingdom of darkness brings destruction on mankind. Third point, God in love responds. He's come, he's personally come, he's taken on human flesh, Jesus. And he comes to establish his kingdom in a world of suffering and a world of death. See, the kingdom of God is the realm of God, where God's power is supreme. If you don't have that worldview, we reduce, or indeed we probably totally misunderstand, the ministry of Jesus. When he brings the kingdom of God in, Jesus does three things. He proclaims the good news that God has come, and he calls on people to turn to him and embrace his good and loving rule. It's the first thing. Secondly, he heals, and thirdly, he deals with evil. When we gather today celebrating Brendan's life, a life with so many physical struggles, I want us to briefly reflect on Jesus' healing ministry and not pass over it. Jesus heals in a total sense, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Spiritual. We are brought into intimate relationship with the Lord when we turn to him, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. Emotional. This world brings, probably on all of us, some significant emotional damage. And the Lord Jesus loves us and he has the power to heal every broken heart. What about physical? God's promise is that for all who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, as we said at the graveside, our bodies will be totally transformed at Jesus' return at the resurrection. That's down the road, isn't it? But what about in this life now? God also brings temporal, physical healing. And that's what we saw at the beginning of that passage read to us from Luke 14. Hear this. Brendan experienced temporal physical healing in his body. For Brendan's lungs to last 27 years is nothing short of the healing power of God the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure about that statement, hop in a plane and go and cross-examine the thoracic consultant up at the Mater Hospital. Because when he was dealing with Brendan at 5 years of age, he effectively said to him, he ain't going to make teenage. The stark reality is that all of our bodies are impacted by the state of the cosmos. It's a state that's not at peace. It's a state that's not at shalom with the Lord. So these bodies die. Our bodies die. But God promises that all who are trusting in him, that when death comes, it's like a doorway, it's like a gateway into heaven itself. And that's the reality for Brendan. When physical life left his broken body as dawn broke last Friday, the 12th of October, Brendan did not cease to exist. He is more alive than ever. He is in the presence of Jesus. Brendan adored Jesus in this life, and he's now worshipping Jesus in a state of joy and exuberance we can only grasp by faith, and I can't find the words to describe it. And so God comes. He comes in love. He comes into our neighbourhood. Jesus comes. He brings the kingdom of God, and it's a kingdom that continues to grow. It grows and it grows, and one day when the Lord Jesus returns, his kingdom, in the glory of it, will cover the whole earth, indeed the cosmos. And the kingdom of God is so, so different to the way the world works. You know the way the world works, don't you? It focuses on prestige. It focuses on flashy power. Might is right. It has pride. It has a lack of love for one another. And so Jesus tells the dinner party guests, who were clearly caught up in a pattern of thinking which was not of the kingdom of God, he says to them, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Yep. The kingdom of God is radically different to the way the world works. In worldly eyes, Brendan was not exalted. Cortical blindness, non-verbal communication, fed through a stomach tube, no motor function. Come with me in your mind. Wheel him through a shopping centre. What'll happen? Well, you get some looks of pity. You might get some compassion. But most people will quickly walk past in his red wheelchair. But in God's eyes, Brendan is the Heavenly Father's treasured possession. And Brendan loved the Lord ever since he was a little mite. And the Lord, as I said in the eulogy, has just so powerfully ministered through Brendan's life. We saw that first sign of supernatural life so early in his earthly journey. So grab the picture. I mentioned it briefly in the eulogy. Brendan was constantly, critically ill during his first 18 months of life. He was on oxygen and projectile vomits 2 to 5 times a day. I was a young Christian. We would take Brendan to church attached to his oxygen cylinder. Brendan had no speech, remember. And I recall one evening, in particular at Wattle Park Chapel down in Burwood, as the preacher was wrapping up what he had to say in a prayer, Brendan anticipated that the prayer was closing. And he lets out, and I'll never forget it, the first word I ever heard him say. We said it in the eulogy, what was it again? Amen. Clear as a bell. Unbelievable. I can still feel the hair stand up on my neck as I recount it. And that was the start of Brendan's journey, ministering to hundreds and hundreds of people in the most unique and spirit-given ways. It was exhilarating to see Brendan worshipping the Lord at church. It was so powerful. He's had such a huge impact on so many people across a range of churches. He was very ecumenical. Brendan's responses to the Lord down through the years have been nothing short of stunning. At home, he would throw his head back with delight when I'd say to him, there are no wheelchairs in heaven. He loved worship music, as I said earlier. He loved competing with his dad when his dad was preaching. As everyone at Deep Creek knows, I would just get an excitement wave through my system when Brendan would try and join in the praise songs in church. And through his responses, it was abundantly clear that Brendan McArdle knew the reality of the cross. You may be aware of, some of you familiar with a worship song, it's entitled Fire Fall Down. So I kept a file on Brendan's responses. Back in May 2016, here's the first verse of the song. It speaks of Jesus. You brought my life with the blood that you shed on the cross when you died for the sins of men and you let out a cry, crucified, now alive in me. It's a great song. So I was playing keys. We had a full band. The volume was up. And when we got to that second sentence of verse 1, when you died for the sins of men and you let out a cry, crucified, now alive in me, Brendan let out such a loud shriek that I heard it on the stage. And where's Elfie today? Hi, Elfie. I noted that Elfie told me later he was up the back. Should have been the front, but he's up the back. Elfie heard that shriek as he just responded to the wonder of what the Lord Jesus done is dying on the cross. For the sake of time, I won't go through other examples, but whether it was the worship song At the Cross, the worship song Lead Me to the Cross, he was always responding at just the precise time. As Jesus proceeds with the parable, he shines light on God's character of love and compassion, calling people into his family, self-giving without looking for any payback. So he says to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they might invite you back and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind and you'll be blessed. Although they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. How do you reckon the crowd would have responded when Jesus gave that instruction? Go on, invite in the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. It's like, what? Are you serious? The world does not put a priority on the poor. It doesn't put a priority on the crippled, the lame, nor the blind, does it? No. But everyone is precious in the sight of God. That's why the Father sent the Son to be our Saviour. And God has just a very special place in his heart for those who the world pushes to the side. Because God's heart's a heart of love and compassion. And it's a heart of celebration. He loves parties. You ever thought of that? You ever thought that the Creator of heaven and earth loves parties? The Lord has a celebration planned for all who love him that will literally boggle our minds. Brendan will be at the great banquet. In the Anglican liturgy, each time we share in Holy Communion, we're reminded of that upcoming mother of all parties that will be held in the very presence of the Lord. So again and again on Sundays, Brendan would let out a shriek of joy when the words of the great Thanksgiving prayer were read at Holy Communion. Here are the words. Bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom, there to feast at your table. The fullness of the kingdom of God will come when Jesus returns in glory and majesty. And Brendan, although having such a broken body, he had a heart that was on fire for Jesus. Earlier in the communion liturgy, the following words are spoken. We eat this bread and drink this cup, do you remember? To proclaim the death of the Lord. Come on, Dick Crickers. We do this until he returns. Come, Lord Jesus. Thanks, Bob. And as these words were spoken, come, Lord Jesus, again and again, Brendan would let out a cry of excitement. I translate his excitement like this. Bring it on. As Jesus brings the parable to conclusion, he totally demolishes the secular world's adage that when you're dead, you're dead. He demolishes it. He puts the spotlight on the resurrection of the righteous. And I want to tell you, Brendan would literally try and jump out of his wheelchair when resurrection was proclaimed, whether that was the resurrection of Jesus or the resurrection of all those who trust in the Lord Jesus. See, another one of Brendan's favourite worship songs, he had so many, is the Hillsong, This I Believe, the Creed. And I vividly recall playing in the band as we sang, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe we will rise again. And you could hear Brendan above the sound of the band. Supernatural, amazing, thrilling. But don't think for a moment that Brendan's responses were limited to worship songs. His trademark at the 10 a.m. service here was competing with the preacher, especially if that was his dad. That one time really stands out in my mind. I was preaching on Romans 4:1-17. That's a good passage to read before we have dinner tonight. I entitled it, The God Who Gives Life to the Dead. And towards the end of the message, as I was starting to lead the congregation in affirming their faith in the Lord Jesus with the words, Dear Lord Jesus, Brendan just let out this squeal of delight and worship. But he didn't just compete with me. He competed with Sheldon when Sheldon was preaching on Romans verse 23. We wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. He competed with Randall. Randall was preaching on Romans 8:14-17, a message titled Spirit of Adoption. And you can listen to this if you go to our Deep Creek webpage on the media. Whack it through to about 29 minutes. I don't want to be worried about numbers. I think it's 18 seconds. Randall was getting the congregation to repeat and speak out, Abba, Father. Abba, a term of intimacy. It's like Papa, Daddy. And as Randall was getting everyone to speak that out, Brendan let out such a loud squeal, and he was in the back row, and Randall's here. It was actually picked up on the mic, and I left it deliberately in the recording, which is uploaded, so you'd go and enjoy that. Romans 8:14-17. Brendan was alive to Jesus in this life, and he's more alive than ever in the presence of the Lord. But I'm quite happy for you to ask questions as I'm speaking. Like, really? Is that actually the case? Is he really alive in the presence of the Lord? He's not in some state of soul sleep. He is conscious, he's joyous, he's interacting with Jesus and with others who are in glory. And he is in exactly the same state as the saints of old. Down through the years, as I saw his body just go from one level of brokenness to another, I go, Lord, when you take him home, he'll be like Abraham, Moses, Elijah, whoever you want to think of. And we're given a glimpse into this time, if you like, however time works in eternity. But between Brendan going home to the Lord on the 12th of October, between then and when the Lord Jesus returns in glory, theologians have called that period, if you like, for want of a better term, the intermediate state. There's actually not a lot. I've got lots of questions about it. There's not a lot in Scripture. But I used a passage at the burial today, which I think is one of the clearest, that gives us the greatest confidence about what happens between when a believer goes home to Jesus and when Jesus returns. So if you weren't at the burial, very quickly on the scene. Jesus has gone up onto a mountain to pray, and he is transfigured in glory before his disciples, Peter, James, and John. We read that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And then, two characters, Moses and Elijah, these are Old Testament prophets from yonks back, they appear and they get into a convo with the Lord Jesus. They actually talk to Jesus about his quote-unquote departure, that he is going to Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins and then after the resurrection ascend and go back to the Father. Get your mind around this. Moses' body died 1,400 years before. And Moses and Elijah are talking to the Lord Jesus. They're conscious. They're alive. They're interacting freely in the spiritual state. And I can see Brendan having a long convo with Jesus. And I can see the Lord Jesus just smiling. Can't you? Just smiling with delight. Perhaps Brendan is telling Jesus about the number of times his mum and dad said, There are no wheelchairs in heaven. And I imagine Jesus might respond, Brendan, you can just run around as much as you like. One of the many ways that God has communicated with men and women down through the centuries is through visions. And that's even more the case, visions and dreams, since Pentecost, with the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Sometimes the Lord will use a physical setting to be a point of reference to a spiritual reality. So grab that thought. About a year ago, the Lord reminded me of the Avenue of Honour as you drive into Bacchus Marsh. Anyone familiar with that? Can you see it in your mind? Okay. Tall trees line both sides of the carriageway. And the Lord then graciously gave me a vision of Brendan arriving in glory. Don't imagine it. There were crowds and crowds of people lining both sides of a massive thoroughfare. And as Brendan arrived and proceeded down the street, there was thundering applause. It was magnificent for a magnificent young man, fully healed, totally free, in the very presence of God, whom he adores and worships. Brendan's departure, his earthly departure, is going to be felt by many and felt very deeply. But for all who are trusting in Jesus, it is. It's not just weasel words, it's the truth. It is but a temporary parting. Brendan knew the reality of the Christian gospel, that Jesus died, that he rose again, and that he's coming back to fully establish his kingdom. So my prayer today is that every one of you would know personally the truth, the reality, and the life-transforming power of Jesus. Because it was a reality that Brendan knew. It's a reality that he's now enjoying in ecstatic joy and praise. And it's all because of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For his blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me. Let me invite you to stand with us as we sing.
Rise. He comes in glory to reveal the fullness of His reign. Oh, hearts will bow before the Son.